Welcome to Inspiring Voices, a podcast series with influential women leaders, an inspiring initiative by EY's Women's Fast Forward program, which is dedicated to women leading the way to inclusivity. At EY, we believe that small actions really do make a big difference, as each of us can, in turn, inspire others to act. We are dedicated to fostering an inclusive culture to enable women's potential to truly transform society. Before we introduce our esteemed guest, a thought-provoking statistic. Only 0.5% of women in non-tech sectors hold tech roles, highlighting the need for a greater female participation. India leads with 43% of women in STEM, set to rise with government initiatives. These are among the vital issues we will explore in depth in today's dialogue. Now let's proceed without further ado to welcome our distinguished guest. Today, we have the immense pleasure of hosting Madhavi Kanumuri, the Chief Digital and Information Officer at Birla Carbon. Madhavi is an esteemed IT leader with a stellar reputation for her passion for driving innovation through contemporary technologies. She has proven track record in building and leading large organizations, leveraging her expertise to foster digital transformation and strategic growth. Madhavi, it's truly wonderful to have you with us. Your journey and achievements in the IT sector are incredibly inspiring, and I am excited to delve into your experiences and insights. Thank you for joining us today.
Great. Thanks so much for the warm welcome, Radhika and the EY team. Really glad to be here with you all. Appreciate the invite and look forward to the discussion.
Super. So, Madhavi, let me ask you the first question. Could you tell us about your journey to become the Chief Digital and Information Officer at Birla Carbon and the driving force behind your career?
Great question. First of all, I honestly didn't think that this is the goal when I first set forth to start off in my career journey. All I knew was I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to make a difference to the community. I wanted to bring in the best skill sets I have to the table. And quite honestly, I really wanted to explore my own potential as I started the journey. So from the time I did my final year project in engineering, I've been fascinated with technology. It was no way similar in nature to how advanced it is today. But however, I think early on, for whatever reason, I kind of recognized that this could be something that would be very exciting and make a difference to the world at large. I graduated as an electrical and electronics engineer. My passion for technology took me to that route in terms of looking at information technology, software development, data. At the time, we used to call it expert systems. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but that used to be called the artificial intelligence of that day and age. That word didn't exist. And so that's how I set forth. And I think one thing led to another. And because of my passion in terms of incrementally contributing to organizations and the impact I could make really led the way to the various opportunities that I was able to leverage throughout my career. So long story short, I went from tech-specific roles to roles looking at impacting business from technology. And that's how I kind of built my career. I took opportunities in areas that I was not comfortable with, that I had no exposure to. So every new opportunity I took would be a new area, both from the standpoint of learning for me personally, and also, you know, leveraging my strengths to contribute to the organization. And I think at some point in time in career, I started to say, okay, I've really enjoyed delivering business solutions from a technology perspective to various different functions. It would be kind of nice if I were to stitch everything together and really contribute at a much higher level. And that's when I think I started to think about, you know, how do I grow my leadership potential and look at influencing functions outside of the technology organizations to enable those bigger business outcomes. And that's probably what led to where I am today.
Very, very inspiring. And that leads me to the next question on innovation. Innovation is at the heart, Madhvi, of digital transformation. How do you foster that culture of innovation within your teams? And what role does, you know, purpose play? And how do you keep them motivated?
Great. I think that's a wonderful question, Radhika. First of all, at Birla Carbon, innovation is a very big area of focus at a business level, not just in my team or my organization. At a business level, it's a very big focus. And then that helps a lot with, you know, creating that focus, including in my function. We have a very good network of digital and innovation ambassadors across the company and the business. We run programs teaching various different methodologies and also training in order to foster that culture. Bringing it to my function and digital and IT, as you rightly said, I think it's front and center to digital transformation. We believe in co-creation and co-solving. So we promote this culture of what we call fusion teams, where we bring in subject matter experts from various different functions to come together to co-create and co-solve on high impact business outcomes for the business. And when you bring these experts together and putting digital as part of that whole overall co-creation exercise, I think that fosters a lot of innovation because you've got ideas coming in from various different functions, expertise. Diversity and inclusion is a big part of this whole thing as well. And that's how we foster innovation. We have a very good technology and talent ecosystem that kind of helps really innovate faster in terms of bringing in those really quick, minimal viable products, as we call them, into fruition so people can actually touch and feel and see if we're going in the right direction, helps us fail fast and safe, and pivot or persevere based on the results that we see at every step of that innovation journey as we co-create and co-solve for business results. So I think that's how innovation, right, like you rightly said, is definitely front and center to digital transformation.
No, that's awesome. This is all about being agile, and leading a large organization comes with its unique challenges. What strategies do you employ to ensure your team remains agile and are focused on high impact outcomes rather than getting bogged down with mundane tasks?
That's a great question. I think we kind of sort of answered that in the previous one because that's how we work. That's the way of life. Just to add to that, we have a very defined process and methodology in terms of how we prioritize our work. We kind of have a big pipeline of, you know, digital transformations everywhere, so everyone wants it and all that kind of stuff. But as we do the prioritization, part of the process actually enables us to understand the business value and the impact that a particular program or a project would create from an overall outcome standpoint. And that's how we filter in the funnel of opportunities that we have coming into digital and IT.
Awesome. Give me an example of one of such project or initiative which will make this even more real, which you have delivered under your leadership, and it has significantly impacted either Birla Carbon or industry at large.
Sounds great. So I'll give you two examples, one at Birla Carbon and one maybe outside of Birla Carbon. One of the projects is what we've done and continue to develop on, along with your partnership with Ernst & Young, which is the sales and operations planning that we went live with last year. We use Beyonder technology, and the impact that it has started to create, I don't know if you've really realized the extent of the impact that it could create. We just went live late last year or early this year, if you will, and we're starting to realize those benefits. Is just to give a little bit of a background, we've got 16 manufacturing sites and we operate in 10 plus countries across the globe. And for us, it's both an opportunity and a challenge, right? So in terms of looking at the demand that is out there from our customers and how we deliver against that demand in the most efficient way possible, that's most profitable for the business. And so bringing these teams together from the business functions, digital IT, partnering with folks like you, pulling it together in terms of really looking at the outcomes, business outcomes that we're up against, and solving for that using the right fit technologies, I think has really proven to be extremely effective. Right. So that's a very recent example I can share with you at Birla Carbon. Outside of Birla Carbon, I think there have been plenty of examples. One that stands out, is the services digitization that we did at another company that I work for, where the challenge was to digitalize the entire business from the services organization standpoint. So having that big picture in mind, again, bringing teams together for co-innovation and looking at those business outcomes really led us to differentiate ourselves in how we deliver to our customer needs, really being proactive and knowing our customers better than they do themselves really helped us differentiate ourselves. So a couple of examples that come to mind very quickly to share with you.
Very, very impressive, Madhvi. Talk me through, Madhvi, in your opinion, what are some of the effective measures that an organization can take to create a more inclusive environment for underrepresented groups in technology?
Right. I think there are various different aspects. I'll start with mindsets, right? One of the things that became very apparent as I started to kind of get interested more and more on the diversity and inclusion agenda for businesses is the fact that, the mindset shift has to really happen across all levels and starts from the top and across all levels. So the recognition of the fact that you kind of talked about it, 43% diversity in STEM, and 0.5% in leadership roles in the non-tech industry is a huge gap, right? I think there's plenty of studies that talk about the value that can be brought to the table just through diversity and inclusion. So it starts with mindsets and the ability to kind of recognize that impact that could be created because of inclusion is one. I think the other one that the second thing I would really highlight here is the fact that, the onus is not on one or the other. The onus is on the individuals that are underrepresented as well. So it's very difficult for the non-underrepresented communities to kind of understand the other side of the equation, even with deliberate effort, but it also is the onus of the underrepresented communities to be able to voice out the capabilities, the needs, and what they can do for the business and the overall good, right? So that's the second bit, I would say. The third is, as leaders, like you asked the question, I think we have a role to play and a lot of ownership that we need to take in terms of actively promoting the pros and cons of this and really fostering an environment where the underrepresented communities can thrive, which could be structural changes, policies, and things of that sort, right? And we as leaders sitting at the table have an opportunity and also a responsibility, I would say, to kind of influence that. And that, I think, is how I would sum that up.
Oh, very, very pertinent points that you have brought out, Madhvi. And that brings me to the next question, Madhvi. Why do you believe it is important for future of technology that we have a diversity and inclusion agenda? Also, how does a diverse perspective on problem solving and innovation really make an impact when it comes to innovation or digital transformation?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, think about it, right? We talked about the gap, 43% going through STEM and very less number of percent of folks getting into these roles. Imagine what is being lost. Imagine the juice and the creativity and the talent that is lost just in that gap. It's a huge opportunity. It's a huge opportunity for businesses to tap into. That's the business perspective. From an individual perspective, I think as women, we feel proud to be self-reliant, not only supporting yourself, but also your family, and then obviously communities at large. That brings a lot of sense of pride in each individual person. And that's the personal perspective of this whole equation. And I think these two are really good, important factors to the reason as to why I feel motivated to kind of drive this agenda. And somewhere in between, you know, you talked about innovation and why diverse perspectives are important. Problem solving is a natural result of the creative ideas that you have on the table. Imagine eliminating a big percent of that from even ideation, from even inclusion in the beginning. You've lost the opportunity to kind of tap into that talent and creative thinking, and hence the results from the problem solving that you're doing in terms of how effective those solutions are going to be. The second thing I'll say there is, if you look at the population at large, and hence your customer base, if you will, it's close to an equal representation of male and female. If you're not including female or you're not getting the diverse perspectives, you're not catering to the audience at large. You're catering your solution to the representation of that small audience that you're including. So including the larger audience gives you the bigger perspectives and helps you really cater your solutioning to the actual emulation of the population that you have in front of you.
Absolutely. And since we were discussing about 0.5% of the women in the non-tech sectors, my next question is, what can companies do to create more opportunities and support systems for women in non-tech sectors to move the needle? And specifically in your organization, in Birla Carbon, what are some of the programs that you have implemented to support the professional development of women in tech?
Yeah, another great question. I think, first of all, I'm not biased towards tech and non-tech industries, right? But to your point, I think there's a lot of opportunity to tap into that talent that has, you know, has been incubated in the tech sectors, the non-tech sectors. Look, at the end of the day, all of us want to be solving bigger problems. All of us want to be feeling proud of creating impact at larger scale, if you will. I think those are the opportunities you get when you move from a tech sector to a non-tech sector. And again, I'm not saying that the tech sector doesn't allow for that, for sure. But I think the opportunity to make a difference is definitely a big part of what the non-tech sectors, you know, provision for. I'm not too sure how visible this is. And so creating that visibility on that career path for roles to thrive and do bigger good and work on higher impact programs, I think is the first and the foremost thing that we do at Birla Carbon. The second thing is around, we've kicked off initiatives in the recent past around employee resource groups, support systems, Tech Thursdays, not really limited just for women, but also for men, but you know, kind of helps grow in that tech ecosystem. So these are some support groups that are coming up in order to foster that further.
Awesome. Lot of support groups being created by various companies, and we are seeing the needle moving, but not at the speed at which it is required to be moving in industry, and lot to do with women themselves as well. So my last question, Madhvi, to you is, what advice that you would give to young women and individuals from diverse background who aspire to get a leadership role in technology sector?
I think, I've always said this to especially folks that are entering into the workforce, especially women that are entering into the workforce right out of college. And this is, something that all of us go through is there are two sides of the coin, right? There's the personal side of the equation and the professional side of the equation. The aspirations on the professional side have to be managed and balanced with the personal life. So the common advice I give people is don't treat them separately, right? I'm not a big fan of work-life balance, but work-life integration, that helps me look at myself as an individual. And I'm looking at integration of both my work life and my professional life. And as long as we have our priorities, right, and know that we can do everything at the same time, and kind of have that equation where you're looking at your life holistically rather than two separate lenses, that helps with the integration a whole lot. And once you have your priorities right, don't let anything stop you. So that's my advice to the younger generation that's coming into the workforce, especially women.
That's awesome, Madhvi. Madhvi, your insights have been incredibly inspiring, and it's clear that your leadership is making a profound impact at Birla Carbon. Thank you for taking time to join us on Elevate Her Dialogues.
Thank you very much, Radhika. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for the invite and the overall EY ecosystem. Really good to know the kind of activities you're doing to promote diversity and inclusion as well. So all the best, and best wishes to everyone.
Thank you, Madhvi, and to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you found today's episode inspiring as well as insightful. Don't miss the next episode of Inspiring Voices, a podcast series with influential women leaders, where we will continue to highlight the stories of some of the successful women leaders who are driving change as well as innovation. Stay tuned as we bring you more empowering narratives and valuable lessons from these trailblazers. Until next time, keep investing in your growth, leading with purpose, and striving to make a difference. Thank you. I am signing off.